That's one of the problems with conventional financial planning is it's a one-size-fits-all approach. When in fact, if you look how people successfully build wealth, you'll see that that's absolutely not true, that people do it in a variety of different ways. Then they use different asset classes and they do it in different time frames and so on and so forth. And so it's not a one-size-fits-all cookie-cutter process when it's done right.
Welcome to this edition of Retire Well, Retire Happy with your host, Annie Nelson. An Australian look at reinventing yourself for retirement and getting yourself retirement ready. It's always fascinating getting to know what people are getting up to in retirement, how they are supplementing their incomes, pensions, where they have chosen to live, how they are filling their time, what charities they are supporting, and what adventures they are having. Anne will also talk to experts in their fields, including investing, health, estate planning, financial advisors, and seniors' health care.
Today's guest, Todd Trezeder, found his own path to financial freedom, and it consisted of leading an ordinary but comfortable lifestyle. And he prioritized building wealth instead of leading a flashy life. He believes that financial freedom is not necessarily about the money, it's about the time that the money gives you. What sort of a life do you want to lead? Todd graduated from the University of California at Davis with a BA in economics and a passion for creating successful businesses. He's a serial entrepreneur since childhood, and Todd went on to build his own wealth as a hedge fund investment manager before retiring at 35. Today, he provides advanced investment and retirement planning education at financialmentor.com, showing you what works, what doesn't, and why, based on a depth of proven experience. Welcome, Todd.
Thanks, Anne. Thanks for having me on the show.
You're a very experienced investor. I believe you retired early. How did that happen?
Well, I made a whole lot of money and I saved it. So basically, when I came out of college, I worked in the hedge fund industry before it was ever called the hedge fund industry. Back then, they were called private placement partnerships. But nonetheless, I had a lucrative income as a partner in the firm. And I kept kind of college age values and lifestyle. I didn't really spend the money a lot. I afforded myself a couple luxuries, but most of them I didn't really even enjoy all that much. And when you save 70, 80% of a large income, you can still live very comfortably and retire very quickly.
That's a very envious position to be in. So where did this frugal attitude come from? Was that something you inherited?
I don't know. My parents weren't big spenders, but I wasn't born with a silver spoon in my mouth. So, you know, I'd always worked for money. I had paper routes as a kid. I had to work my way through college. And so I had never become a big spender. I'm still not a big spender to this day. I've just never really found a lot of joy in stuff. I think people treasure stuff when they can't have it. But when you can have pretty much most of what you want, you find that you really don't want that much. That what happens is stuff kind of drains your energy, it pulls from you, and it clutters your life, and that it keeps you from having the thing that's really satisfying, which is life experiences. And so I prefer experiences over stuff, and that's what I teach in my own work.
Right. So what do you do now after you retired from your previous job? You went on and set up your own company.
Yeah, well, I didn't at first. I mean, at first I did like everybody else, right? I thought, you know, financial independence was just, you know, endless fun, like a vacation, right? That you would just be on pro leisure circuit and you would, you know, find all kinds of fun things to do. And that's the way life would work. And of course, it's not that way. And that's obvious in hindsight, right? We know it from looking at how people behave once they retire. There's typically kind of anywhere from 3 months to a year of honeymoon time period where it really is fun, right? And then it's really satisfying not to have the pressure of work and all that. And then pretty soon kind of disillusion sets in as the reality of not having anything meaningful to do with your life for the rest of your life just kind of sets in. It's like, wow, I you don't realize all the different things that create a fulfilling life. You know, things like community, connection, sense of purpose, sense of contribution, creative expression of your deeper values through, you know, creating something in the world. It's just, there's a lot of pieces that go into this that a lot of people don't understand. You have to live through it to see it.
I suppose that's all about planning or the lack of planning.
I don't know if it's, you mean in terms of wealth or in terms of a fulfilling life?
Well, life plans is a start. I mean, people do think it's all about the money, but if you don't have a plan for your life, I suppose, or have an idea what you're going to get up to me it comes back to planning or lack of it.
You know, there's a slogan, I think it was Jim Rohn that said it, but I don't remember for sure. It's, if you don't have a plan, then you become part of somebody else's plan.
Ah, that's very good.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think you do want to plan. You do want to proactively, you know, point the direction for your life. But I also think you have to be open to seeing where life pulls you. So I think it works both ways. For example, I didn't plan on being a financial coach, and I didn't plan on writing books and building courses like I'm doing now. I kind of stepped into one after the other as they pulled me through. You know, so after I was done building wealth, I had all this knowledge about financial independence and investing and advanced retirement planning and on wealth building and all these skills that people valued. And I wasn't doing anything with it. And a lot of people were asking me questions about it. And so that's what ultimately started Financial Mentor as a coaching business, was just trying to help other people with it, right? It was just going to be this cute little boutique coaching business. And then what happened is pretty soon I started getting a much bigger vision for it. And I started realizing that I need to put all this knowledge, you know, kind of put Todd in a box, if you will, through courses and books. And so it's kind of one thing led to another, led to another, led to another. And so while there was a plan pointed towards some deeper values around, I love personal finance, I love wealth building, I love creating, I love all these different things. And so I would follow that path that I knew from inside, but also things kind of present themselves along the way.
The message I'm getting is that if we don't prioritize building wealth, we'll never have it.
That's absolutely correct. There's always something that's going to get in the way in your life, right? There's always some other priority. There's always some emergency. There's always something else you can spend money on besides putting it away and, you know, delayed gratification and compounding it in the background. There's always something. And so if you don't prioritize it, it won't happen, just exactly as you said.
Does it matter at what age we come to this realization? Can we still build wealth at any age?
You can still build wealth in any age. You just have to adopt different models. And so the way I teach it in my wealth planning course is that there's really two fundamentally different models. There's the conventional planning framework, which is what most financial advisors teach, right? And so it's paper assets, low-cost passive index asset allocation. And so that type of approach works. There's nothing wrong with it, but it typically takes the bulk of an entire career to save enough and compound long enough in order to achieve financial independence. And it's a reasonable financial independence. If you want a lot of financial independence, or you want it at an early age very quickly, then you have to use what I call the advanced planning framework. And that revolves around different principles in mathematical expectancy. It uses different asset classes, business and real estate primarily. And it applies principles of leverage and risk management to tilt the payoff equation. And so that's how you see people who become young millionaires, you know, like 20-something-year-old millionaires. It's almost always done through business entrepreneurship if you get it by your 20s. You'll see some examples of real estate when you start hitting people who achieve it in their 30s and 40s. And so it just has to do with what the mathematical expectancy is of the different asset classes and how you use them.
So you talked about business and real estate. Are there other ways to build your wealth?
Right. So you have to have three components. You have to have the source of wealth creation in the first place. And then you have to translate it over to your personal net worth. And then you have to compound it through investments. So there's three components to the wealth equation. You can use any one of three asset classes to do it, right? There's three asset classes. There's business entrepreneurship, there's real estate, and there's paper assets. So those are the three investment classes.
How did you build your wealth?
Well, I built the wealth originally, or created the wealth in the business asset class as a hedge fund entrepreneur, and then I compounded it in the paper asset class as a hedge fund manager or an investment manager, right? But of my own wealth. And then later on, after I sold the hedge fund, then I diversified my portfolio into apartment buildings. I started buying apartment buildings in different areas of the U.S. And so that's when I moved into real estate, was after I sold the hedge fund. And then I sold all my real estate before the collapse in 2008, 2009. So I've been through all three asset classes, actually.
I suppose what works for which people depends on the person themselves. Is it to do with their knowledge and expertise, or is it more to do with how they're making their money?
All the above and more. So you're dead on correct in that it's all about the characteristics of the individual and how you match it to the characteristics of the asset class. So each person comes into this with different goals, different resources, different skills, abilities, and then each asset class has its own characteristics too in terms of what leverage factors are capable, return on investment limitations, skills required, all the different characteristics of each asset class. And so the way it works in practice is you have to match the characteristics of the asset class and the strategy used in that asset class to the characteristics and goals of the individual. And so the analogy I like to use to explain it, it's like Velcro. To get a wealth plan to work properly, you have to get it to where the hooks on one side of the Velcro intersect with the loops on the other side of the Velcro, so it holds it together. And so those hooks and loops are like the characteristics of the asset class and the characteristics of the individual. And so what works for one individual won't necessarily work for another. And that's one of the problems with conventional financial planning, is it's a one-size-fits-all approach. When in fact, if you look how people successfully build wealth, you'll see that that's absolutely not true, that people do it in a variety of different ways. Then they use different asset classes and they do it in different time frames and so on and so forth. And so it's not a one-size-fits-all cookie-cutter process when it's done right.
If we're behind in our retirement savings, how can we catch up?
Well, okay, so let me just paraphrase the question back to you. So you're saying, like, if you're 50 years old and you're just starting to save?
Yes.
Okay. So if you're in your, you know, if you're in later stage of career and you're just starting to save, then the conventional plan won't work. There's mathematical limitations to the return on investment on paper assets. And so basically you'd be in a situation of trying to save your way to wealth starting in your 50s, because compound return isn't going to add much to it over such a short time period. And so what happens is, if you haven't been a good saver up to your 50s, the chances of you suddenly becoming this miraculous saver that's going to save your way to wealth in 10 years is not realistic. And so what you have to do is you have to go to the other two asset classes, business, entrepreneurship, and real estate, because they have no mathematical limits on the return. And in fact, you can go one step further. They're not even bound by the return on equity equation. In other words, like, to make that normal language, when you try to build your wealth through paper assets like stocks, bonds, mutual funds, you invest a certain amount and then you get a certain amount of return on that equity that you've invested, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, so in business and in real estate, you may not actually have to have any equity invested, so your return on equity can be infinity. And so what that does is that frees up the equity growth equation from the mathematical limitations imposed by the traditional model. And so there's ways for you to achieve financial independence in, you know, if you're a late starter and you didn't, you know, save early on. But it requires different strategies and different asset classes. You can't do it the ordinary way. It's what I call, in the course I teach, it's what I call the advanced planning framework.
What do you recommend for someone that's starting out? And
I mean, this is going to sound like a sales pitch, and it's not intentional, but the whole reason I created, it's called Step 3, How to Design Your Wealth Plan, on my site. The whole reason I created that course is there's absolutely no good resources on the subject. And so I created out of thin air. If I knew of a resource, I wouldn't have put all the work into creating the course. So if you're behind, you know, you're in your 40s or 50s, 60s, and you need to figure out how to build wealth and secure your retirement, you really have to do the advanced planning framework. And there's a lot of education that goes behind doing it right. And I don't know of a single source to turn you to, except for, of course, my course. So again, I'm not trying to turn into a pitch session here. It's just the nature of the question. That's the answer.
How important is personal growth in this equation?
I think personal growth is an outgrowth. That's not the right way to say it. Is a back-end product. It's a response. It's a result of pursuing financial independence. In other words, I always say that if you want a remarkable path of personal growth, just try to get rich, because you're going to encounter all kinds of personal issues, personal obstacles. You're going to have to overcome all these obstacles in order for you to attain a financial result that you've never attained before. And so one of the beauties of pursuing the wealth equation or the wealth path is that it's actually a path of personal growth and achievement.
I know I've heard it before that once you set a priority, it gives you focus. And then once you have focus, then other things will come into your radar that perhaps you had never noticed before that will help get you to where you want to go.
Absolutely correct. Yeah, it's something a lot of people don't understand. It's kind of like that, you know, that experience. If suddenly you took an interest in 69 VW bugs, you know, suddenly you'll see them everywhere on the road. Whereas before you never noticed them, right? They were just cars that just blended in the background. You never noticed them. But when you got this keen interest in 69 VW bugs, you'll start seeing them everywhere you go. And that has to do with how your mind recognizes what you've got as a priority.
What is it about money that we need to value? Is it the money itself that we need, or is it what money can get you?
Yeah, exactly right. It's money itself. No, nobody wants more money. Right. What people want is what money will buy or what they think money buys. Right. So for most people that become clients of mine, they have a high value on freedom. And so they confuse financial freedom with personal freedom. And so they get very interested in financial freedom because they realize all the restrictions in their life from not having enough money. Right. Whether it's how much time you have to work, you work for a boss you hate, you know, you're just doing all these things you don't want to do. You order a different meal from the restaurant because it's half as much as the meal you really wanted. Those are examples of being bound by money. And so when you have more money, it gives you freedom to do that. Or for me, what I do is I pay for people to do things that I don't want to do because I have the money to do it. So, you know, it's not money itself. Money itself is fairly valueless. It's what money can do for you or what you can do with the money.
So what do you enjoy doing?
I enjoy experiences, just like we were saying early in the interview. And most of the experiences I pursue aren't all that expensive. They cost money. So as an example, like I took the family to Europe a couple summers ago. We spent 2 months in Europe. We hiked what's called the Camino de Santiago, which is a 500-mile hike across from France all the way across the top of Spain out to the coast. And it was a great family adventure. I hiked the John Muir Trail with a buddy. And that was 250 miles from the base of Yosemite to the peak of Mount Whitney. I enjoy different travel adventures. I enjoy hiking, bicycling. All these things take time. They take health. They don't require that much money. So you have to have some money to do it, but it's not a lot. So I value experiences over stuff, just as I said earlier.
It sounds like you've set up a wonderful life, a style for yourself. And it seems like anyone else could do it too if they have the right system in place and the right example to follow.
Well, that's the theory. I believe anybody can be financially independent if they have a properly designed plan and they care enough to do the work. So it's not complicated. It's not rocket surgery. You know, and I play that intentionally, right? Brain surgery, rocket science. It's just, it's something that you have to understand how it works. You have to get the principles right. You have to design a plan that's sound, that will work for your life situation. And you have to take enough action on it to produce the result. But it's not that hard, you know. And the thing I always like to say, Ann, is that it's a lot less hard than the alternative, which is to work your entire life away. You know, it's a lot less hard to do the work to achieve financial independence than it is to live without it. And so to me, it's always been one of these brain dead, obvious things that everybody should pursue. But the reality is everybody doesn't. So
no, we sort of got used to personal gratification now in this instant society that we seem to be living in now.
Well, yeah, but I agree with you. Delayed gratification is, I call them habitudes of the wealthy. That's my step two course. It's not available now. Step three is the only one that's available now. But the step two course is called Habitudes of the Wealthy, and it's the personal side of your foundation that builds wealth, right? The financial side is all the basic financial planning stuff. That's step one. Step two is the personal side, because I always match the personal with the financial. And so the personal side is the habitudes that result in wealth, and habitudes is a mashup where it's habits and attitudes, right? Uh-huh. And so one of those habitudes is delayed gratification, which is exactly what you're pointing out. People who build wealth have the habit and attitude of pursuing delayed gratification, and those that never achieve wealth have the habit of pursuing instant gratification.
Yes, I know. To me, it's obvious you can't rely on the government. They say, oh, you'll get this bit of government pension, but can anyone really survive on a government handout?
Well, you can survive on it, and you could even structure your life where you could live halfway decent on it. At least, you know, with U.S., while the U.S. dollar still has some value in the world, who knows how long that'll last. But anyway, while the U.S. dollar has some value, some people do take the Social Security pension from the U.S. and live comfortably in foreign countries where the dollar goes pretty far. So it can be done. I wouldn't want to bet my life on it. You know, I have no idea how long that's going to last. I have no idea how long our currency will command good purchasing power in certain third world nations. And so would I want to bet my entire financial future on that outcome? Absolutely not. I prefer a little more security and I prefer a little more control over where my life goes.
Have you got any success stories you'd like to share?
Yeah, absolutely. I've got quite a few, actually. Just before this interview, I got off the call with an attorney client who went from working in a firm where he was a successful attorney to a few years later, he's financially independent and he can choose his own path. And what we did was we worked with him to go out on his own. He was the rainmaker for the firm. He was sharing too much of the revenue with the other partners. Basically, they were sort of living off of his work. When he went out on his own, he still kept getting the work. He had a fraction of the risk. He worked fractionally as hard and he made about 5-7 times the money. He was financially independent in a short period of years. So that's just one of several stories.
It's possible for anyone to change their financial future.
Absolutely. Yeah. Again, you just have to understand the principles and you have to develop a plan of action that matches the characteristics of the asset classes, the three asset classes, with the characteristics of your life, your competitive advantage, the resources you bring to the equation, everything else that the plan makes math sense. And it's sound based on the principles that actually work.
Well, thank you very much. It's been really, really interesting to hear your point of view. And it sounds like anyone can change their future if they're prepared to change their habits.
Yes.
This is Ann Nelson from Retire Well, Retire Happy. And we've been listening to Todd Treseder from financialmeta.com. And is that the best way for listeners to catch up with you and to find out more about your books and programs?
Yeah, that's the hub of everything I have is at financialmentor.com. That's two words mashed together, financial and mentor, all is one word, financialmentor.com. And I give away a lot of free resources for people who come over and, you know, it's to build relationships. So I give away a free book to new subscribers. It's called 18 Essential Lessons of a Self-Made Millionaire. And I have a free mini course. It's 52 weeks to financial freedom. And it goes through the structures and basics of how people achieve financial freedom. And it's all free. And it's just, you know, it's just to build relationship and for people to figure out if they resonate with the message or not. And then I have paid products for people that want to take the next step as well.
Thank you. It sounds like there's a lot of good value over there at your website.
Thanks, Ann. Yeah, there's over 1,000 printed pages of free content. There's one of the largest collections of financial calculators on the internet. So yeah, there's a ton of free resources there, and hopefully it helps people.
Thank you. Thank you very much for sharing.
All right. Thank you, Ann.
You have been listening to the podcast show of Retire Well, Retire Happy with your host, Annie Nelson. For more information on the show's guests and being retirement ready, pop on over to my website, www.annnelson.com.au, on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Until next time, be happy, stay healthy, and help somebody.